Holy Spirit is here. Maybe you're not comfortable in that stillness. I remember a time when it terrified me to quiet my mind. I wanted to fill it with so much noise and so much static. I wouldn't have to think. But you are safe. And that's what sozo means. That's what salvation means. You are made whole. You are preserved. You are made safe. And your mind is in good hands with the Holy Spirit of God. It's a spirit of truth. It's a spirit of love, peace, joy, goodness, sound mind, self-control. And as we are commanded to take every thought captive, we've been working on that as a church. This, Lord, our minds are places where we want you to reside, where we want you to be the authority. Things like fear must leave. Things like insecurity and unbelief and worry must leave. Things like depression, we command you, leave. And instead, we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Fill us. And as we are still just for a moment, we are calling on the resources of heaven to come and defend us if need be, but to come and fill our minds with truth. We are loved by the God of creation. We are known by you, Lord. You are that personal to each and every one of us. And as I was worshiping and just Jesus was leading us and I was wanting my mind to be still and know God is here. God is close. God is within us. He is closer than our own breath to each of us. I was thinking of what we were talking about Sunday when Jesus healed 10 lepers and how sometimes your healing happens when you just are on the way. You start moving in obedience. There doesn't seem to be an instant bang. But as you are on the way, you know, in that obedience, your healing comes. And I know there are many people in this room that are navigating life that are just kind of going on because it's the right thing to do, amen? But because you are wanting to be in obedience. So Lord, I pray that our healing comes now. It's complete now. And as each and every healing is realized, Lord, we want to give glory to you. We recognize you are the healer. You are the one that restores us and makes us whole. In every category, God, physical, certainly, thank you, Lord. Emotional, God, thank you. Heal our memories. Heal our relationships. Heal our finances. God, you are the healer, and we give glory to you, and we thank you that we can gather as the family of God. We can minister, but typically what happens is you end up ministering to us. Thank you, Lord. Refill tonight. Refurbish tonight. But Holy Spirit, minister. We love you. Lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Welcome to our Thursday night, family night, kind of Bible study night tonight. Yes, it's going to be fun. We're going to hear from Dennis and Jesus. So both are prepared to kind of lead us in our study in Romans. So I'm excited about that. Only have one announcement, and that is tomorrow night is movie night. So if you want to come out for a nativity, the star. It's a nativity story told through the eyes of the donkey. I have not seen it. I'm excited to see it. Apparently the donkey talks, and so we'll get to listen and have fun. Jesus recommends it. It's passed the test of all his kids love it, so I think that's a pretty good litmus test. So we'll have popcorn and I think hot dogs. I don't know what we'll have. We'll figure it out. But if you want to bring some goodies too. And there's no other agenda other than just fellowship and watch a movie and enjoy the nativity story together. So that's tomorrow night's announcement. Sunday, we're going to start a mini series, three Sundays in a row, basically on the Gospel of John, just the first chapter, just the first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And so we're going to try to understand that, and it is somewhat Christmas-orientated, meaning the Nativity, Christ coming to earth, but that's kind of a little sneak preview for Sunday. So that's it for announcements. I don't want to take any more time than that. Dennis, I think you're up.
Hello? Can you hear me? Amen. How is everybody tonight? Okay? We all okay? It is going to be a good night tomorrow night. I'm going to move this over here. Right there. How's that? Okay, but I want to make one more announcement. Can I make one more announcement? There is outreach and men's breakfast on Saturday. For those who may not have heard, we're going to have a great feast Saturday morning. Then we're going to go out and minister in the neighborhoods and do our outreach. And it starts at 9 a.m. Is the men's group, men's breakfast, and then we go out to the streets at about 11:30. We leave here at 11:30. And the outreach ministry is open to anyone who would like to participate. So that is women also, very powerful, person that the Lord uses. We have women out there that it's great to have ladies pray with ladies, and the guys can minister to men. And so the ladies that have gone out with us have experienced some really good times, really powerful times. And it's suitable, women minister to women, and men minister to men. So that's Saturday. That's it for announcements. We're going to be speaking, or I'm going to be speaking on Romans chapter 10, verse. We're going to go over 14 through 21, but I'm not going to go over all these verses. Jesus is going to cover some that I'm not, and there may be some. What do you call it? Overlap. There you go. Overlap. There might be some of that tonight. But let me read this, and then I'll get in with what the Lord wants, or that he shared with me, so I'm going to share it with you. So it reads, it says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" That is why scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news." Amen. Amen. Now, I did a little research on the feet. Okay, now, feet are an interesting part of our body. They're usually covered by shoes or something, but sometimes they're beautiful, sometimes they're not so beautiful. When I was in Monroe, I've seen some men's feet that weren't so good looking. But this, the reason these are here is because of the message they bring. The they're a vehicle that is able to transport the messenger. And as I read this, I could go over the history part of it, but I kind of been led to the evangelistic part of it. And there's questions up here that I hope we can answer by the end of tonight, that they don't have to be asked again, because we're going to be the ones who deliver that message. We're going to be the ones who take out the good news. But how can somebody, it even goes on to the faith thing, you know, is how can they believe if they haven't ever heard? How can we call upon somebody to save us who we don't even know about? Thank God we can do that because we have heard. We pray, Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see, right? I mean, we all have prayed that, I believe. And I thank God that he was faithful to answer the prayers. And because we have some faith, we can ask and receive. And because we believe in him, and he is who he says he is, he'll deliver it. But he's also given us a voice. You know, thank God that somebody delivered a message. None of us would be here tonight. None of our lives would be the way they are today. None of us would have been rescued from where we were in the world to where we are with Christ if nobody ever spoke the message. And we get the opportunity. See, I said that with a purpose. We get the opportunity to deliver a message. And there's brothers and sisters out there. Now, he's talking about the Israelites, but I wanted to take that a step further and bring that into today's time here. There's brothers and sisters on the other side of the street that have not heard the message. There's people who come in to the food bank that may not have heard the message. They hear it when they get here, but when they're out in the world, they haven't heard it. They don't know about it. So we as believers, when we go outside these doors, we don't have to close our mouths. We don't have to be consumed with today's electronics. I want to say that because I see so much of it today as people are like this with their phone and they don't even notice the people who walk by them. How many divine appointments have we missed? Because we're consumed with what's going on around us or with what's on the technology, what's on the phone. Be prepared to share the good news. God has equipped you, and God has spoken to you, and God has rescued you to share that good news. And again, it really hit me because how can they call on him to save? Man, I know that I've called on him many times. Even when I was in Pierce County before I got into my home, well, my hotel, I'll call it, the university that I happened to attend. But God, I said, God, this is not who I am.
Amen.
But I had a school to go through. He heard my cry, but I still had time to serve. And through all this time of serving, the faith got started. I started to hear more clearly the longer I stayed. But the feet of the messenger, man, wouldn't it be exciting? I mean, I know somebody in here has led somebody to Christ. Somebody in here has. Okay? At least a couple. But if it's only been one, how exciting is that? That's exciting, isn't it? And you have beautiful feet. I mean, it says it right there. I'm just going to put that out there. That's a little bit of a funny thing for tonight. But you have beautiful feet, but you're a messenger who brings good news. You're a messenger who brings hope. You're a messenger who brings somebody another way of living. They aren't hopeless. They're not lost. They're not forgotten because you're the messenger. You get to go there. You get to get out of your comfort zone. Oh, you mean I have to talk to strangers? You mean I have to go places where I might not normally go? Huh? How many people find it easy to talk to strangers, but then you bring up the other aspect. It's not just talking to strangers, it's talking about Christ to strangers. It's talking about Jesus to strangers. There's a challenge, isn't it? It's easy to strike up a conversation, but then comes the test, I'll say. And go on to the next scripture. It says, but not everyone welcomes the good news, for Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard this message? I know from experience that I've shared the good news with people, and I hope they heard it. But I ask them if they want to accept the Lord in their lives, and for some reason, it doesn't connect. They don't actually embrace it at that time. Yet somebody else will come along and say, hey, how you doing? You want to talk about Jesus? I need him in my life. So they get salvation right there. And I'm on the other side of the room going, did I do something wrong here? Did I say something different that didn't quite connect? But that's the Spirit of God. And the thing about being a messenger is don't be discouraged if somebody doesn't hear you or respond in the proper way. Continue to move. Continue to walk. Continue to share. God is faithful. He'll give you what you need. He'll give you encouragement. But we can't hold this to ourselves. That's what we're not created to do. We're not created to get the good news and they say, oh, it feels so good. My life is so good, but I'm not going to share it with anybody. Share it. Some of them might not hear you. It might be a long time before they even respond right. I was one of those guys that didn't respond right away. I know my mom had to pray for years upon years and years. Well, I don't want to go too far, but there were a lot of years that she had to pray for me. But God was faithful to hear her prayers, and God will be faithful to those who take out the message. And there will be fruit of that. Do I need to see it right before me every time? No. I'm going to have faith that God's going to continue to work in them. I'm going to be faithful with what he gave me. He gave me a message to share. And that's what we get to do. So, don't be discouraged. Again, that's the biggest thing I got out of this today is it'd be easy to be discouraged, especially in a time such as this, as the world is today. We see a lot of negativity. We see a lot of death. We see a lot of darkness. Don't think God doesn't know what's going on. Have faith in God. Continue to stand firm in the Lord. Accept what he's given you and run with it. And those feet, they can take you wherever the Lord leads you. Whatever door he opens up, you can step through. Whatever door he closes, you can leave behind. Because he has you on a journey. He's given you commission. He's commissioned you to share the good news. He's given it to you. And here's the thing. I wasn't trusted for a long time because of my lifestyle and my actions. But with this message, God trusts me to deliver it. He trusts in you. He has trust in you that you will share what he's given you. And we can do this. Amen?
Amen.
We can do this. So I did a little review here on this next slide. It says, For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. This is in the beginning of this chapter 10. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. How many of us have tried to keep on and hold on to our own idea of what it looks like? I have. Okay, good. I'm not the only one. Whew, I was getting concerned for a minute. But you know, I want people to understand. They can understand if we share it and God reveals it. Did you check that?
Yep.
If we share it and we speak it, God can impart that. God can make their ears hear that. The deaf ear shall hear. The blind will see. The deaf will, all that. Those are promises, and I believe in it. So as I read this, Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. It's already done. So when I hear they don't understand, I want to go back to this one. I don't want these questions to be asked again. Because I want to be that person who shares that message. These questions, we should be able to answer. Hey, guess what? They're going to know because I'm going to share it loud. I'm going to shout from the mountaintops. They're going to hear a voice, and it's going to declare Christ is the answer. They're going to declare that Christ has already done. He has accomplished what he is set to accomplish. Christ will do it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that being said, okay, I'm going to end here, but will you pray with me? Will you stand up? And I'm going to say just a quick prayer before I turn it over to Jesus. And it's going to be a prayer that I want to, I just am going to put here for us. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word tonight, God. And Lord, I thank you for your message. I thank you for the good news. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the feet to carry that message out. I thank you, Lord, that you've put it in our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that you have rescued us, and we are not going to be silent any longer. We are not going to avoid conversations with your name spoken in those conversations. We are going to talk about Jesus. We are going to It's for your glory. It's not for mine. It's not to bolster me up, but it's to escort people into your kingdom, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay, so we are going to, as you said, we were going through the same passages here, and I titled it Looking Back to Go Forward, meaning that sometimes we have to remember history so that it doesn't repeat itself, right? And we talk about that all the time, and we go through that, but it's easy to forget that in our own lives, and it's easy to look past what God has brought us through and what God has accomplished in our lives, and then we fall back into a time of rut or a time of sorrow or of pain and things like that goes on in our lives because we forget what God has done for us. And so I don't want to forget. And as we read scripture, I think that's actually one of the main reasons we get the Old Testament as well. So we can see the past and we can see scripture played out and Jesus played out through time. So now we don't have to repeat the same things over and over and over again. And I find ourselves there. And so I want to pray that God, I just pray that we would be able to get past all these things that makes us stumble, God, the same stuff that keeps on catching us, Lord, the same thing that keeps on tripping us, Lord. And so I just pray that we would look past that, Lord. We would be able to stomp on that this season, Lord, that we'd be able to just go through those barriers, God. The same things that used to stumble me yesterday will not stumble me tomorrow, God. And so I just pray that, you know, Lord, that we would start to be so wise to the schemes of the enemy, that he's going to have to find new tricks to try to trip us up, Lord. And so we ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
And so we read all the way to where? Who were we to? 18. So here, but I asked, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all of the earth, and their word to the ends of the world. But I asked, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation with a foolish nation. I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to the disobedient and contrary people. So these passages the passages used in the scripture were prophecies of the Gentiles being brought into the will of God. So we know that when Jesus came, he even stated himself that he came for Israel, right? And he came for Israel, and that he said, why would I give to a dog what it's meant to be on the table? What he meant to that, when he talked to that woman, he said that is like, hey, I'm here for something else. I'm here for Israel. Why would I give to you what was meant for somebody else? But somewhere along the line, a switch happened, right? When Israel rejected Jesus, a switch happened, and we as Gentiles or the Greek were welcome in to the will of God. But we know and we can see that the plan of God isn't by mistake. God is sovereign and through all time, and he knew that Israel was going to reject them. It wasn't by mistake that Jesus said, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going to let you in. Right? He knew from the beginning of time that everybody in this room would need him. Right? I would need him. You would need him. All of us would need him. But that was always his will. But it's laid out in a way so we can see that God is sovereign and he's righteous. And we can see that there is that he's strategic, right? God is strategic. And we can see that in our own lives. If our life is hectic and we try to figure things out, then that's not of God. Chaos is not of God. And sometimes we don't have to fully understand what God has given to us, but at least we have a comfort, and then there's a way and a path that he's opening up to you. Sometimes, like I said, we'll feel like we can't see the next step. But we can trust and know that God has given us the next step, and there's a peace about that. There's a peace about the next step that we're supposed to take and the way that we're supposed to walk. But we see, we were reading earlier, it says, I got to go back all the way this way, that they have heard and they did not understand, meaning they have to realize that I'm here for you. I think that's what Jesus will say, I'm here for you, but they kept rejecting it, right? There was about 450 years before Jesus came to earth that Israel have not heard of God in a long time. And I think that's kind of why. I mean, I don't want to like justify why Israel didn't want or hear from the Lord, but it happens in our lives too, right? We kind of start to get complacent. It's like at first we're like, yeah, I'm on fire. There's things that are happening, but then complacency starts to come in. And it's like, you know, you find yourself maybe 1 week, didn't go to church, and all of a sudden you're like at 3 weeks later, and you're like, oh, I didn't realize I haven't been to church in 3 weeks, or things like that. It starts to be very complacent. It starts to happen slowly, but it starts to go. And can you imagine if you were promised a Savior, and then 450 years have gone by, and nothing? I mean, I can't go one day without God speaking to me, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I did. I'm sorry. I don't want to be in this spot. I don't want, please forgive me for what I'm doing, because I don't want to not hear from God, right? And I think that's actually a sign of a true conversion with God, is that you desire to hear from him, and when you don't hear from him, it hurts. And I was telling this last few weeks, but when I was playing football back in high school, I had a coach who kept on yelling. He kept yelling. He was just mean, right? Hurry up, you know, Garcia, get it going. And he would, you know, you're not whatever. When he's just yelling, right? And I'm like, so I get mad one day and I'm frustrated. And I go to him. I said, Coach, why do you keep on yelling at me? I'm like, there's nobody. You can yell at everybody else, but why does it seem like you're yelling at me? Right? He probably was yelling at everybody, but just kind of seemed like he was yelling directly at me. And he goes, Garcia, the day that I stop yelling is the day that you have to worry. meaning that I don't have, there's no potential that I see in you anymore. That means that I can't yell potential out of you. And so we have convictions in our lives that God has given to us. But when we stop hearing the convictions of God, that is the true punishment of God. I think we are always scared of, you know, God doing this or God doing that. But we see a lot of times in Scripture, God says, you haven't listened to me, so I'm going to let you fall into your own sin. I'm going to let you fall and let you do what you want to do. But then we realize when we do what we want to do, we get messed up. I mean, yeah, we find ourselves, and then we find ourselves at the ground, and we stumble, and we're falling, and then we're hurting, and then we blame God. God, why'd you let me go through this? But if we could hear the other side, I try to warn you so many times. I try to grab a hold of you so many times before you fell and you hit the ground, but you didn't listen to me. And so then we get angry with God and say, Lord, I can't believe you did this, right? And I think that's kind of what happened to Israel. They got, you know, they got conquered a couple times, and it was their own fault. But they were like, Lord, I mean, kind of like, you know, why did you let us do this? And even during this time when Jesus came back, they were conquered again, right? They were conquered again. But it's like, Lord, we keep on getting conquered. How can you tell me there's a Savior, a Messiah, when we keep on getting conquered? How can you tell me that, Lord? But we know it's because of Israel's sin that they found themselves there. Jesus said, you know what? If you don't want to listen to me, then I won't speak. And I know, like I said, I don't want to be in a spot where I don't hear from God. I don't want to be in a place where my heart is so hardened that I find myself not hearing from the Lord. And there's sins that we do that are sin. And I think one of them that we see a lot in this world right now is sexual morality, stuff with that stuff, is that we've gotten comfortable with boyfriends and girlfriends living with each other and sleeping with one another and doing things outside of marriage that they're not supposed to be doing. We've gotten comfortable with, you know, children disobeying their parents and not honoring their parents. There's a lot of things that we've gotten comfortable with, and we say it's little things, and we say, no, it's just part of society. It's just part of the way that the world is going. You know, it's okay. The stuff that we've heard in the past it's not part of today. All these excuses that we've heard over why, and it's because as a nation and as a people, we've gotten comfortable with sins in our life. And I know the place, I've been a believer for a long time. You know, when I was 4, I remember looking at the pastor and saying, I'm going to be a pastor one day. And I feel like God called me to that because, you know, a life that I had to go through. And for me, cursing was a sin that always convicted me, right? And then I joined the military, right? And so I'm in the military. One curse word slips, and I'm like, that hurt, God, I'm sorry for that. Two curse word slip, I'm hurt, you know, hurt. But then after a while, I'm using them as periods, commas, and exclamations, and everything else that's in between there. And that, I look back now, and I realize that I got to a point where I didn't even care. Like, how far do I have to go that a conviction of God doesn't matter to me anymore? And we do that with other things, right? With other strongholds that we have in our lives. We do that all the time, but we don't deal with them. One of them is we talk about passivity all the time. We start to get comfortable being passive. And I remember praying to God, and I said, God, I need your healing in my life. And I remember him, and I remember waking up at 2 or 3 in the morning, had a vision, and I talked about this at worship. I had a vision of a ladder going to heaven, and I get to heaven, and there's a tree, and God says, pick the blessing, pick one, it's yours, I'll give it to you freely without anything, just grab it and it's yours. And he says, but do you really want it? I said, of course, God, I want the healing. I want to grab a hold of the fruit, and I want to be blessed by you. But he said, no, do you really want it? And he kept asking that question, and I realized, what is God asking? We get comfortable living in a sin sometimes. We get comfortable with pain or fear or passivity because it causes us not to have to move out and move what God has done doing for us, or to speak, or to even go out and say the news. I remember when I was in Afghanistan, I was in an explosion, so I have some disc problems in my back. And I said, God, I want healing on my back. And he's like, do you really want healing? You've gotten used to not having to lift things for people, or you've gotten used to not having to do so many things. Do you really want the healing? And I'm like, yeah, God. He's like, okay, but when I heal your back, are you willing to lift the box that you haven't been able to lift in a while? Are you willing to move things for people? Are you willing to do stuff that causes not normally cause your back to hurt? Are you willing to not use it as an excuse anymore to actually do what I called you to do? And it, I mean, it hurt, right? I'm like, God, I tell you I'm willing. He's like, no, are you willing? He kept asking me this, and I remember being up from 2:30 all the way to like 5:30 in the morning, and the same question kept coming up and kept coming up and kept coming up. Are you willing to let me bless you? Meaning, there's things in your life that you're doing that you have to get rid of. But are you willing to let me bless you? Meaning, are you willing to remove those things in your life, to fix those things in your life, so that way I can bless you? And I remember just being stumped there, and I put on worship music. I did everything I could that night to try to get this out of my mind, right? I'm like, Lord, I don't know. I just felt, you know, like you're in front of your dad, and he's just talking to you, and it's just like a night of conviction. But then after the night was over, he says, I want to bless you without any not being contingent to anything that you're doing. I want to bless you, and I want to give it to you freely. And I think it was a learning time. I think God blesses us whether sometimes, you know, whether we're believers or not believers. We see that in Scripture with the 10 lepers. You know, 9 got healed, but only one believed, right? They all got healed, but only one believed. And so I think God blesses many people, and he does a lot of things for us. But I think that night was more of just, I want to heal you, and I want to bring these blessings over you, but do you really want them? And meaning, are you willing to change things in your life? Are you willing to do things that are the walk? We say, God, I want the gift of prophecy, but what are you going to do with it? Yeah. We got to go out and preach to people, right? Amen. And we got to talk to people, and we got to do those things. But God, I really want these gifts. What's the point of God giving you gifts in the church if it's not to be used somewhere? And these are the things that he revealed to me that night. And I'm like, Lord, it hurt me. And it was more of also a hurt in my soul, realizing, God, I'm not using what you're giving to me. So how can I ask for more? And I think that's what Israel was going through, right? So when the Messiah showed up and it was right there in front of them, they're like, we've been promised and it's hurt so much and all these different things are going on. He said, do you really want a Messiah? You're comfortable. I remember in 2010, when I was in Afghanistan, we were told by, Obama was the president at the time, and he said, we're going to leave Afghanistan at the time in 2012. And so we were towards the end of it in like 2011 time frame. And all of the Afghan people started to go back to the Taliban. They were on our side as long as we were there to feed them and do everything we could. But as soon as they heard Obama's making us leave in 2012, they all just kind of turned on us. And they kind of said, well, we have to survive. And if you're going to leave, who does that leave us with? So we have to survive. And so I think they didn't know what to do with the Messiah. They didn't know what to do with it because that means that they would have to stand up. That means that they would have to do things. That means that something would have to happen for them. That means that, hey, Rome, I'm standing up for who I am. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for God to do that in our lives? And that does mean that sometimes there's going to be relationships in our lives that are have to be cut off. Sometimes that means that there's going to be arguments. You know, Scripture tells us that God didn't come to bring peace, but he came with a sword, right? He came to divide. And there's two sides of that. One is that he wants to bring peace, but he also said, I'm going to bring division, meaning that maybe you're going to go to your family and your family's going to reject you. Maybe there's a group of people that you've said are family and you've done so much for, and now you say, I believe in Jesus, and that group of people don't want to talk to you anymore. Are we willing to do those things for God? Because it takes more than zeal. There we go. It actually says in Romans 10:2, it says, for I bear witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge. meaning they are willing, they say they have zeal and they're willing to do with this, but they don't know what to do. I mean, they just, for what? They're not, they're just, they're, right? But we know that zeal can run out, but the word of God will never. Meaning, sometimes you're feeling good and sometimes you're not. So does your faith and your relationship with God, is that stronger than even when you're in the tough times? Is it stronger? Or is the faith that you have in God stronger than that? Is when you believe in the Lord and when you ask God for things, is it stronger than that? You know, what happens when you're in the desert time and you don't feel like you've heard from God, or you feel like you're not getting the spiritual high, right? I've seen a lot of people chase a high. You know, they're still chasing highs even though they're not addicts anymore, right? Or they say they're not addicts. They're still chasing highs, the spiritual highs around all these churches. I feel like I'm not getting high at this church, so guess what? I'm going to go to this other church. I'm going to get high there. Guess what? I'm not getting high anymore, so I'm going to go over here. There's no difference in what they're doing in the world than what they're doing at the churches, because they're trying to find the zeal, but they don't do it with the knowledge of God. So when we're actually able to have zeal and knowledge at the same time, how much better is that? Amen. For we had to pray for scales to come off, right? Because we got to give Israel a little bit of a break, right? It says, "I do not want you to be ignorant of the mysteries, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles have come in, and in this way Israel will be saved." It was meaning God hardened their hearts, right? It's part of the timeline of the world, and God hardened the hearts, and now it's because now we're allowed to come into the kingdom, right? If they didn't harden their hearts, we wouldn't be allowed to be in the kingdom of God the way that we are. And so we've got to give them a little bit of break, right? Because that's the way it works. And so we need to pray for the eyes of Israel to open to God, understanding that revival will happen amongst Israel when their hearts are softened. Right? So we need to pray for Israel. We can't forget that Israel are the chosen. They're called the chosen people of God, right? And so we need to pray for them and say, God, we're ready for you to open their eyes. We're ready for you to come and to show them that there's actually more for them in their life. And this isn't more than just for Israel. We can see that it takes more than knowledge to understand God. We need to pray for people to have an encounter with God that will change their lives, a Saul to Paul encounter, however that may look for that person. However it looks for you, however it looks for that person, that's what we need to pray for. We need to pray for an encounter with God that causes them to say, whoa, this is past anything that I've ever known. This is past the knowledge that I have, but something happened to me, right? Something happened that I don't understand. That means what? I have to have faith. When we have faith, then we can believe in God. But it takes more than that, right? We see in other parts of Romans, it talks about the mystery. There's wonders of God that's given to us. We call them general and special revelations. There's general revelations, meaning that everything that we see, God revealed to us, right? We all have things that God's shown to us. But a special revelation is Jesus, meaning that there's something different about it. Not everybody understands it. If you look at the mountains, you say, wow, that's awesome. I think pretty much everybody say this is, you know, I can see the beauty in this. But not everybody sees the beauty in Jesus. That's the difference between that. It's a special thing that God is doing and what God is revealing to people. So what is our part? The reason Israel had so many rules in the Old Testament was so they could be a nation that stood out to the rest of the world. So it wasn't about rules. Really what it was is that all the nations around them were very immoral. And so God is saying, I want you to be a nation that stands out compared to everybody else. So we as Gentiles or the Greeks, so we need to take the role in that world, in the world today, to be a light in the world. So if God opened it up to us and we've been invited into the work of the Lord, we need to be the light now that Israel is not accept the Lord the way he accepted the Lord. So that means that we have to do it, right? And that means through discipleship, others need to see Jesus being played out in our lives. We have to disciple others. Discipleship is different than conversion, right? It's not just, hey, come to Jesus, adios, see you later, thank you for accepting the Lord. That's actually not even what God is called. Actually, Billy Graham has a book about this. He said, we would go to these nations and we would save all these people and it was awesome, but then the fallback rate was huge. It was like they all went back to the world and did their own thing even though they accepted Jesus, right? But then he said, what they started to do is, after they do with his things and he would preach, they would attach them to local churches. And they would have local churches be there, so it's like, hey, now that you believe in God, go to these people and learn. and actually start to walk with them. And this discipleship takes time, you guys. That means that not just on Sundays and Thursdays, but that means you're going to have to meet with people outside of that. That means that people can call you, can talk to you, can look for you, can do different things, right? That's what discipleship is. That means that if we actually see the true discipleship with Jesus, they lived with Jesus. They pretty much spend every single minute of the day with Jesus. There was times that he left, you know, to the garden or whatever, but I would say most of it was like almost all the time, every time they were with him, right? And actually one thing the Lord revealed to me is, you know who you disciple the most is your children. Because who's with you most of the time? So when you say something, when you do something, when you act in a certain way, your children pick up whatever you're doing. And so then later on, I remember there's some things that are going on in my oldest son as he's getting older, and he does some things that act out, but I realize that's me. And I can't, and that was makes me even more mad. I'm like, wait, I'm the one that acts that way, or I'm doing the same thing. But he is discipled by me. He's discipled by his mom and his mom. Meaning that how we act, he acts. And not only this, but when you have kids, you realize that the 2 to 4 year old, they have no filter, right? And so they're gonna say and do whatever, but they're also gonna act just like you in the public, and they don't even care, right? At least as we are adults, we kind of have in our minds, we're able to like make up, you know, okay, I'm not gonna do this here, I'm not gonna act this way or outburst here, but they ain't got that filter. And so you're gonna see yourself playing out through your kids in public, and now you're embarrassed, right? But that's you. They've seen you and they're acting like you, and now you're embarrassed because they're acting like you, right? And so but what we need to do though, that's a joke, but what we really need to do is realize that there's people in the churches who need help. It's not just a place where people come on Sunday and on Thursday and they get to see you and they get to talk to you for 5-10 minutes and then they're gone. They need help. They don't know. And I'm realizing too, when it comes to this, we, especially in our church, we don't have the common crowd that comes to this church. Amen. Right? And it's a good thing. There's people who are recovering, there's people at places, but because they've been through their life and they've done drugs and things like that, they don't know what normal, or they don't have that functioning thing, right? It's like they're still 17 even though they're 35. You know what I'm saying? They don't, and so it takes godly men and women to come alongside those who don't know and not get frustrated and teach them. Because we need to be able to do that. And as you get more knowledge and as you get better at mature in your walk, it means it's your turn to go back now and help others who are going through what you just went through. I remember when we first got married, me and my wife, we had some arguments, and I remember one of this guys that I would go to, and he kind of laughed at me, like, dude, it's not even anything. You just, you know, just walk off, leave it alone, and he almost, like, laughed at me, and I realized now, years later, we just hit our 10-year in September, that there are dumb fights that we had, right? And so now when people who've been married for a year come up and start, you know, I can't believe she did this, or I just kind of like chuckle myself. I'm like, you don't even know. You haven't even seen anything yet. Wait until something actually really happens. And so it's like, but we're able to speak into them and say, hey, I've been there. I've done that. I just want you to know it is possible. Now, we had to pray for scales, right? We're going back to the scale part, because when you're in the middle of the battle, it's hard to hear anybody else. And so I think that's when discipleship comes into place, because we find people when we talk to them when they're not in the middle of the battle. But when you're in the middle of that battle, it is hard. I get it. You know, when I was fighting, when we first married, I was fighting my wife. I'm like, dude, you don't tell me that everything's going to be all right, okay? I'm mad as heck right now, and I want to punch holes in the walls, and you're telling me that everything's going to be okay. I don't want to hear that, you know? I want you to fix it. Or it's like almost like, you know, when I went to, when I got back from Afghanistan, I had this anger from being in combat and stuff, and I went to the therapist to I felt like maybe if I just talked to him, it'd all be done with, right? I just wanted kind of relief. I wanted to be done with, you know, the anger and everything that I had. And so I show up, and he goes, you know, this is a 7-week course. I'm like, 7 weeks? I came here to get done today. I don't want no 7 weeks, you know. And then he's like, breathe deep. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to breathe deep. I want you to just tell me something and take this away. That's what I want you to do, all right? But now, getting over that, I realize it does take time, you know. And there's certain things that God does instantly for us, and there's other things that we need to come together as a community of God and actually help and guide people through. And so we need to be unique to the world, right? I kind of use a Christmas tree because it's Christmas time, right? And so what is the purpose of the tree if you're a kid? Huh? The present, right? So the tree itself is awesome, but the present is what is the purpose. So we're supposed to be like a tree that people are attracted to us because there's something different and unique to us that we can lead them to the presence of God. That is the purpose, our purpose in this life. We're supposed to be a light of the world. And I think our way that we do this, in this time, I strongly believe, is through the joy that you're supposed to have, even though all the stuff that is going on in the world. Because there's depression and anxiety and pain and all these other things. And if we don't know, the suicide rate in Christians is just as high as in the secular world. Why is that? Because they feel like there's no hope. They feel like there's nothing. I can't get over this. And we've all been there, right? And especially when the fight is like, this is daunting. This is a moment. And I feel like there's nowhere for me to go from here. This is never going to be different. But just know and trust in God that there is going to be a difference. There's going to be a time that the things that you're going through is not right. We need to call people to that. So if we're in the world acting like the world, how are they supposed to know that we're different? So we need to be different than the rest of the world. So guess what? If you're somewhere where everybody cusses, don't cuss. And it's not just to say that you can't. I'm not going to say that cussing is a sin or not, right? But it means that there's something different about you, right? I'm not going to go there. If we have a radical change and people around you are drinking and you don't drink, guess what? That causes them to question, why aren't you doing it? Or if when people are having panic attacks and everything else and people are going around and for whatever reason you're calm, why? Because I have Jesus. That is our purpose. That was Israel's purpose in the Old Testament, which they didn't accomplish, to be different than the rest of the world. We need to be different than the rest of the world, and we need to accomplish, then present the gospel to people. More than just the words that we say, because we understand, if you've been in a church long enough, that your testimony and what you say means nothing if your actions don't follow behind them. I've seen so many people use their mouth a whole bunch, proclaim all these different things, and then they fall away. If you're truly a prophet, if you're truly a pastor or a shepherd, or if you're truly, a discipler, you don't have to say it. People are going to see it in you. And I remember, when I came and get ordained at the church, one of the things that I remember John saying the first time I talked to him, he's like, the ordination only comes when it's already happening. That means that you only ordained because you're already doing what you're called to do. You don't get ordained and then the calling happens. The call happens and then you get ordained. It means that you're walking out and you're living it, what God has called you to do. And so if you feel like, you know, I have a pastor's call in my life and you're waiting for somebody to ordain you, that's not the way it goes. If you feel like you have a pastor's call in your life, start to pastor and then the ordination will come. If you feel like you're a prophet, start to prophesy and then others will call you a prophet. If you feel like you're a discipler, start to disciple and others will call you a discipler. That's how it works. It's not about getting a title or feeling like you have to accomplish something or somebody speaking something over you. It's you actually stepping up, doing what you feel like you're called to do and what God has called you to do. And then that is when these things will happen and ordinations will happen for you and the things will move for you. And so that's what we need, right? We need to bring people. It's like, if I go to your work or if I go somewhere you normally hang out and say, hey, did you know this person's a Christian? They're like, who? You know, then you're not doing what you're supposed to do, right? But if I go somewhere and I ask somebody about you and they say, hey, you know, there's peace about them, or that's actually one thing they hear a lot is like, I don't know if they're believers or not, but there's a peace about them, or there's some peace that's going on with them. And it's like they realize, actually, in the worship that I do, my goal in worship is what King David was to King Saul. King Saul didn't understand why there was peace. He just knew when David played, there was peace. And so when David played and there was peace over King Saul, he knew that there was an option for peace in life. And when you know there's an option, that means that you're not going to always be suffering. You're not always going to be hurt, right? You're not always going to be in this pain. So then it gives you the will to live past it and do what God has called. So we need to stand out so people are drawn to God. So let's go ahead and stand up and pray. And so the Lord will reveal to us however way we need to work on. So, Lord, I just pray right now, God, a peace over us, Lord. I pray for your presence. Lord, not just I just pray that you would be with us, or let us feel you. God, I know you're with us always, God. So I just pray that we would let us feel you. Let us be encouraged by you. Let us be drawn to you in the daily life that we have, God. And Lord, I have to confess in my life that there's been times where I think people don't know that I'm a believer, or maybe even now, God, I think there's people who don't know, and I have to confess that, Lord. And I have to say that I want my light to shine so bright that it's not a doubt in anybody's mind that I'm a believer, God. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel, God. And so in a world that's trying to mute our mouths of the gospel, I just pray, Lord, help us open our minds and our mouths open to speak and spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us live a life that people are drawn to us. Help us live a life that people are called to you, Lord. And Father, I do pray that you would, even as we have the image of the Christmas tree, God, the beauty, Lord, I do bless the feet of those in this room, God, that as they walk, Lord, they will find favor, that as they speak, the words will touch hearts, that as they move, a movement will happen, God. And Lord, I just pray for healings, Lord, God, your salvation to fall upon Tacoma, Lord, and the people in this room are going to be the ones to do that, God. And so, Lord, I just pray, give us boldness, Lord, and ways that we've never even felt before, God. And Lord, I just pray for anybody right now who's dealing with, like, depression and anxiety stuff, Lord, that their lives will be so dramatically changed right now in the name of Jesus that they will be known for joy, that they will be known for happiness, that they will be known to be the ones that are happy in every situation, God. And Lord, I just thank you for that, God. And I just pray that you would help us get over ourselves and start to realize the schemes of the enemy so that we can progress and push the kingdom of God across this earth, Lord. And God, we want to be your vessels, God. We want to be the ones that are moved by you, Lord. And I want to be so in tune to the Spirit that when you tell me to go left, I go left. Right, I go right. When I speak, I only speak the truth because it's coming directly from you, God. And Lord, help us have divine appointments on a daily basis, God. Help us be able to see the divine appointments, Lord, and to be able to speak and speak the good news over people, Lord. And we thank you for this night, Lord. I ask that you would just bless us, Lord, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.